Interest This Week podcast, where I tell you about my interests over the past week. My name is Jason Anderson, and I am recording this for the week ended October 24th, 2020. In this episode, I'll be talking a little bit about why some companies don't upgrade their systems that often, and what information do mobile phone companies, or just ad companies, or whoever, get on your mobile phones. So without further ado, let's go into the one about why some companies just don't upgrade that often. Now, some of you may not know this, or some of you may not realize it, but some companies just don't do a lot of upgrading. Yeah, I know, if they just have some old stuff, if they have, I don't know, just old servers or old computers lying around, or maybe some old software installed, they're going to keep it that way. I mean, it may seem nice for them to, I mean, they may be slow to upgrade, but I sometimes wonder why companies do this. I mean, especially nowadays where you may have some breaches or you may have some, we may have failing systems, we may have systems that, well, okay, here, how about this? I'll get into some of the reasons why some of these companies just don't upgrade. Usually for this, the company is going to need a business case for it. I mean, if this is going to be a huge undertaking, then they need a good reason for it. If they don't need to upgrade to the latest version of Windows, I mean, they're not going to buy all those licenses, and they're not going to retrain all their people. Especially if they have something that still works for their company. So, for instance, if they have, you know, these tablets and what have you, these old desktop computers or laptops, as long as they're getting updated to the latest patches for the OSs, you know, those companies are fine. If they have old servers that are still humming along, that are still serving their customers or providing their services or whatever functions that the company needs, they're going to keep those going along. Unless this software or this hardware can really do something for the company, then the company is not going to do it. So, for instance, if, what would be a good example? How about with mobile payments? Now, most companies nowadays, especially those in retail, you know, they have units for mobile payments, you know, utilizing NFC. But it took a while for some companies to do that. I mean, I used to work at a supermarket that took them a year or two just to get the terminals together, I think just to get the software into place, just to utilize mobile paying. And even at that, though, I think it took a while just for everyone else to also get on board. That activity itself could have probably costed the supermarket untold millions of dollars. Another thing is that on the back end, they probably had to ensure that their processes can, well, it was more of on the front end, because the PIN pad itself, it handled all of the back and forth between the mobile device or the NFC item or the NFC object and the point of sale system. But still, they also had to train a couple of people, you know, on how to figure this out. You know, if it fails, you know, what do you go back to? Well, usually you just go back to either, you just fall back to, you know, sliding their credit card or using the chip and PIN system. But there was probably some other things on the back end, on the support part, which the supermarket also had to do. So their technicians had to be trained on this stuff, troubleshooting what happens if some part of the PIN pad, you know, messes up. Or, say, the software, if there are software errors, they had to be documented or they had to be trained on it in some way. So, ordinarily, with these companies, there has to be a business case for that. Another reason why they may not want to upgrade, I mentioned it earlier. I mean, if it still works, if, you know, that version of Windows is still working for them, they won't upgrade. Now, if a company has, say, a version of Windows 8 on their laptops. I mean, it may sound a bit odd, especially how big of a train wreck Windows 8 was. But still, if it's getting updates, and by the time of this recording, at the time of this recording, Windows 8 was still getting upgrades, then that was fine for them. And a lot of companies, you know, they've already transitioned to Windows 8, and everybody has gotten used to Windows 8. Of course, when a company does have to upgrade, when they've dragged their heels for this long, then they say, okay, how are we going to do this? And they have to carefully look at how they can change, how they can move over their systems to this new thing. So, for instance, when companies were trying to move over to Windows 10, they needed to ensure that their business applications would work well with it, that their teams would work well with it, that the cost of it wouldn't be too high, that sort of thing. And, of course, I haven't talked about the biggest reason of all is that it makes their systems more secure. I mean, nowadays we have so many breaches and break-ins or just system failures. Well, not so many system failures, but still we have these companies, their infrastructure can break. They may be susceptible to intrusion. They may be susceptible to huge data losses. So that's why they need to really patch their stuff on a regular basis. I mean, if a company doesn't have change management in the organization, if they don't have someone to handle these change management for patching, testing, documentation, for training, then they're not going to go very far. I mean, if their system isn't patched to the latest updates, an intruder could find some flaw. They may be able to easily find some flaw, in fact, and they could crack into the system and ruin at least a sysadmin's day, not to mention steal a bunch of other information. And wreck a whole lot of havoc, too, just doing that. I understand some companies may be a little resilient to upgrading or testing all that stuff because they may look at it and think that it's just costing a lot of money. If higher management or even executives may look at this regular testing and they only see it as a cost and they can't really see the benefit of upgrading this, upgrading and testing and ensuring that everything is working as intended, if management doesn't understand that, they're going to wonder why do they even bother. But it is a great idea, it is a great thing, just for companies to do regular upgrades, to do patching and all of that stuff. It could probably save them a lot of money in the long run. By having this change management as a part of the core of the functions of the company, firms and organizations and what have you, can ensure that if something does change, that if something does break down, or if something just goes wrong, then they can minimize the damage to the company. So in the words of a guy named Alan, you know, patch your shit. So now I'm finished talking about that, about how some companies may don't want to upgrade their systems. To what information does a mobile phone give to companies? Your average smartphone user probably knows that they're being tracked in some way, that ad companies are taking their information, but they may not exactly know what information that company is taking, nor do they know what the company is doing with it. So let me just back up. When a user consents to using the applications and services of a company on that smartphone, they're allowing the company to use pretty much any data that the company is getting from that user. The user may just think that the company is taking their information from that app, such as Instagram, for instance, and maybe just using it towards improving that service. But they don't know what other things the company may do with that information. What they'll usually do is they'll sell it to a data broker of some kind who will, I don't know, maybe turn it into even a profile on the user. Of course, it depends upon the user case, but still, they'll turn it into something which can be used for either, I don't know, advertising or possibly even getting understanding the person's political affiliation. So what are some of the data that is collected on a person? Well, there could be their name, address, date of birth, location via GPS, their browsing habits, whether they live with children, what languages they speak, their eating habits, things like that. These can be tied together so as to create a profile on the person and maybe used by small or large companies so as to, I don't know, sell them a service of some kind. But it can also be used for tracking the person. It can be used for figuring out, how many people in a certain area lean towards some political affiliation. You know, I talked about earlier how it could either get your political affiliation without you even telling it. So we could figure out, you know, how many of these people are, I don't know, what are they called? Libertarians. And, you know, direct an ad at them for a political leader who may not necessarily be a libertarian, but they may be made out to look like a libertarian. So they could use something like that. Now that I've said all this stuff, what can the user do about it? What they can do is they can read the consents that they seem to click through when they download a new app. Yeah, I know a lot of that is sounds pretty wordy and it's a lot to take in, but mind you, this is the user. I mean, this could be your personal information that they are taking, selling, reselling, or giving to whoever. Sometimes you got to read this. If you don't want them to use it, you can opt out. I mean, in a lot of these apps, they've been updated to opt out of getting your data used or collected in that way. From what I've read, a decent number of companies are complying with these opt-outs, and they're not really sending this data. But you still got to be careful about what other data is being collected on you. So when browsing a web page, for instance, they may be able to get your GPS information. It's best to then look in the settings for that browser to change the privacy of it, to turn off, you know, if the website could easily get your GPS information, to turn that off, to change your cookie settings if you can, disable them, or if it's really necessary, then disable third-party cookies and just leave the third-party cookies. What I'm saying may get a bit technical. It may seem daunting, but it's not, from what I can tell, it's not that difficult to control your data. I mean, there are some things in place that you can do. As I've been saying for the past minute or two, you may only need to just opt out of these apps which are collecting your data. You can look at the privacy features that are installed or that are a part of the settings on your OS. You can restrict these things. It's doable. It's difficult, but it is doable. I'll link to something in the show notes that'll give you at least a good start on this. That's all I've had for this week, or at least that's all I've had to think about over the past week, so I think I'll just end it right here. But all I can say for you now is try to keep yourself secure and all that nice stuff. Also know this, you can't get to the top of the mountain if you don't aim for the stars. Good night.